The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live. Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
And welcome again to Bob Burney Live. Oh, folks. You know, if you study scripture, you find that we have a great enemy in the devil. We do. We have a great enemy in the devil. We cannot underestimate his power. But folks, our greatest enemy is not the devil. And let me just get personal for a moment. Your greatest enemy is not the devil. Your greatest enemy is you. Your flesh is your greatest enemy. My greatest enemy is not the devil. Now, I'm not diminishing the power, the influence of the devil, but he is a defeated foe. He was defeated at the cross, and his power was defeated at the cross. Now, that is a fact. That is a fact. And we need to understand that we cannot blame our circumstances, our failures on the devil. You know, you hear people, well, the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do anything. He can tempt you, he can influence you, but he can't make you do anything. When you sin, it is because you chose to sin. Take responsibility for your own sin. One of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Joshua. I absolutely love the book of Joshua. And Joshua, what was the greatest enemy of Israel? It was Israel, their unbelief. Listen. When the children of Israel marched through the wilderness and came to the brink of the promised land, the Jordan River, and right on the other side was the land flowing with milk and honey. Well, did they go in? No. An entire generation wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, and that entire generation dropped dead in the wilderness. Now, what was their greatest enemy? Well, according to the children of Israel, their greatest enemy was the Philistines, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the termites. Maybe not the termites. The walled cities, the giants, were like grasshoppers in our sight. We've got it. No. They were defeated. They were defeated. When the spies, the two spies, 40 years later, when the two spies went over and they found Rahab in Jericho, do you remember what Rahab told the spies? For 40 years, we've been shaking in our boots because we knew what your God could do. The greatest enemy of the children of Israel was not the walled cities like Jericho and Ai and the Canaanites. Their greatest enemy was their own flesh, their own unbelief. I love the book of Nehemiah. Love the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Now, there were enemies from without, But if you read the book of Nehemiah, the greatest enemies that Nehemiah faced were his own people. The greatest enemy was within, not without. And I got news, folks. The greatest enemy of your church is not the radical homosexual lobby. Now, would many of them like to destroy you and your church? Yeah, no doubt about that. Yep. That's not your greatest. The greatest enemy of your church is not the radical homosexuals down at the gay pride parade. Now, get that straight, folks. They are not the greatest enemy to your church. Let me tell you who the greatest enemy of your church is. Carnal Christians in your church. It's possible you might be one of them. Hope not, but it's possible. Hey, listen, I've been in ministry over 50 years. I have seen dozens of churches absolutely decimated, destroyed from within.
I didn't like the color of the carpet that they put in, and we're just going to leave.
Pastor's sermons are too long, and so we're just going to leave.
I have heard the absolute dumbest reasons on planet Earth of why people have left churches, why people have got mad at pastors, at leaders, deacons, elders. The greatest enemy of your church is not on the outside of the walls, it's on the inside. Carnal, immature, selfish, self-centered, uncrucified, fleshly Christians. Now, why did I go through all of that? Because of this story. It is a weird, bizarre story happening down in Greenville, South Carolina. And it is extremely difficult for me to keep all of the names straight in this story. But there is Relentless Church, there is Redemption Church, there is Pastor John Gray, and who are the other ones? Let's see. Oh, my goodness, I've got their name here. Some celebrity pastor couple that started this church in South Carolina. What are their names? I thought I had Pastor John Gray's church. Okay. All right. I'll find it here reading through. But anyway, several years ago, this celebrity couple started this church in Greenville, South Carolina. Ah, Ron and Hope Carpenter. There it is, Ron and Hope Carpenter. Celebrities. Big-time celebrity pastors. Husband and wife, Ron and Hope Carpenter. So they build up this church, kind of built around their fame and so on and so forth. And they decided they wanted to do bigger and better things out in California. Yeah, it's warmer, the beach is closer, you know. So they turned the church over to Pastor John Gray and his wife. Just hand it over. Now, it wasn't a church vote. Ron and Hope Carpenter says, hey, here's the keys. Why don't you take over? We're gonna go to the beach in California. So they turn the whole thing over, and they head out to California. Well, anyway, I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes, and I'm not even going to try to guess. But now a feud has erupted between the founders, Ron and Hope Carpenter, and the successor, John Gray. And he changed the name of the church from Redemption Church to Relentless Church. Well, for the last 3 or 4 months, they have gotten in a battle, and a very public battle. And so the original founders, Ron and Hope Carpenter, contacted the Pastor John Anaventer, that's her name, Gray, and said, you know what? That whole thing of turning everything over to you, nah, that wasn't really legal. We're going to take over again. You're out of here. And this John Gray says, what do you mean we're out of here? You gave us the keys. We're in charge. We're not leaving. And as Ron and Hope Carpenter says, oh, yes, you are. You're going to be evicted. You haven't paid us rent. And this Pastor John Gray says, of course we paid rent. You've cheated us. And you know, no, you cheated us. And this thing has gone back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And now both have hired attorneys. So Ron and Hope Carpenter, the founders, are trying to evict Pastor John and Eventa Gray, Aventer Gray. And it's all over the newspapers in South Carolina. And they're suing each other, making accusations. And the name of Christ is being dragged through the mud. Now, to be honest, I have no idea who's telling the truth. I have no idea. But here's the bottom line. Both of these couples are willing to drag the name of Christ through the mud rather than surrendering and simply doing what's right. They have no clue about scriptural dealings with disagreements. They need to read the book of 1 Corinthians. Both of the parties, both of these couples, firing bullets, legal bullets at each other. And by the way, it's all about money. Money, 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 money. Now, I have no idea how it's all going to be resolved, but the name of Christ is being destroyed in Greenville, South Carolina, by two carnal, selfish, pastoral couples. And it is sad, 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 sad. Folks, greatest enemy is not the devil. It's carnal Christians. Think about it.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome back to Bob Burney Live, wrapping things up on a Friday. But before we wrap things up, we have a caller in the Federal Witness Protection Plan. Today he is calling himself Paul from Grove City, but we have no idea who he really is or where he is. But anyway, welcome, Paul, or whoever you are.
Oh, my buddy, Bob, man.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
I never know how you're going to introduce me, but anyway is good enough and interesting enough in the eyes.
Have you checked in with your probation officer today? Just wanting to know.
I think I may have to do that when I get off the phone here.
Okay, because he called me this morning and told me that if you called in today, that I was to remind you to call him.
Well, happy 2020 before I start.
Yeah, thank you.
I want to bring up Bob, but all kidding and humor aside of how you meet, converse on the radio, I do respect your opinion a lot, Bob, and I got a real serious question.
Okay.
I've had a couple people to take odds with me, I suppose, and not that it's the only issue at hand, but the fact of the pro-life, the life issue, the right to life. Is that enough of an issue for any person who would want to call themselves a Christian just that would outweigh anything that Trump would say or do? I would say that it's an important enough issue that one issue enough is enough to want to vote for the man. But some people want to hold the fact of his behavior, how he mocks people, and maybe some of the things he's done. And I, I'm like you. I'm not, you know, weighing in unconditionally support for the president, but I have a hard time coming against him and, you know, the things that he does when he, you know, when he gives a speech. I don't approve of. I don't know what the deal is behind that, Bob, but again, not to ramble on, would the fact of the being a pro-life president be enough to, you know, trump everything else against the guy?
For the most part, yes. I want, you know, he's not a pastor. And I look at the people that God has used through the years. For instance, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a godless pagan king, and yet God used him mightily. Cyrus was a godless pagan king, and yet God used him mightily. There are other kings in Scripture that God used, not endorsing their unbelief. The Pharaoh that made Joseph second in command, there is no indication at all that that Pharaoh ever became a follower of the Jewish God, but God certainly used him. That does not mean that, and this again, Paul, you know, you're a regular listener. You know, I say this all the time. The devil lives in the extremes. And that's why I keep trying to warn people in our camp, conservative Christians, that we've got to be balanced. And I am very concerned about people who have blind loyalty to Donald Trump and act like he can do nothing wrong. And I fear that they're harming their testimony for Christ because they refuse to acknowledge some of the weaknesses that Trump has. And as I said earlier in the program, I'm not going to compromise my testimony for Christ for anybody, you know, including the president. But on the other side, if I look at what he's done, he is by far the most pro-life president in modern history. He has done more for religious freedom and liberty than any president in modern history. He appointed Sam Brownback to deal with religious liberty around the world, and Sam Brownback is doing a great job. He has done more for minorities than any president in modern history. Look at the unemployment rate among blacks and Hispanics. So we just have to have a balanced approach. We don't support anybody blindly, but we give credit where credit is due and criticism when it's necessary. And that's the way I think we should handle Trump. Hey, Paul, I wish we had more time, but I got to go. Have a great weekend, all right? And folks, I hope you have a great weekend as well. Be in a good Bible-believing church. And wherever you go and whatever you do, remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.